We thank the Lord for His goodness to us and opportunity to be here. I'd like to share a little message this morning, starting out in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I was thinking about the little part about how that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. There's a tendency in life for us as people, humans, to do our own thing. Go our own direction, take our own course, and we just have a tendency to stray away from God, what God's design is for our life. We are like sheep. We're human, and we are like sheep. And it's important for us to recognize the need of the shepherd. The great shepherd gave his life for the sheep to care for us and to help us. Also in Isaiah 55, it says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, our thoughts get us in trouble. Our own human thoughts get us in trouble many, many times. And it's natural. I mean, we have a mind, we think. But many times it's not really in the channels that God would have us to think. We have a human perspective many times, and we fail to have a spiritual perspective. When we fail to have a spiritual perspective, that's when we get in trouble. But if we could see things through God's perspective, it changes a lot. And that's what we need. We need to be able to see things as the Lord sees them. And He's able to help us to do that. But He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." There's another verse, I believe, in Proverbs that said that every way of man is right in his own eyes. We're so quick to justify ourselves, our ways, our responses, what we do, it looks right to us, and so we do it. And that's not always what God's design is. Our thoughts will get us in trouble spiritually. I want us to look now at another text of Scripture in Psalms, the 73rd chapter. This is an account, my Bible says, a psalm of Asaph. He starts out in verse 1. He said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. And their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak lawfully." He goes down in verse 12, he says, well, they say in verse 11, they say, "How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches."
Yes, Lord.
Verse 13, he said, "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning." See, this man looked out and he began to see some things from a human perspective. He began to recognize people that weren't really living for God, and yet it seemed like things were going well for them. It looked like they were really prospering. Looked like they had things well situated. And here he had given his heart and life to the Lord. But he said, all day long have I been plagued. It seems like I've been meeting lots of trouble. I've been meeting a lot of obstacles in my life. Things that beset me financially and emotionally and every which way. It just seems like I'm running into things and I'm trying to live for the Lord. And he came to the point, he said, "Verily I've cleansed my heart in vain." This just looks like there's no avail to this. It looks like there's no profit to what I'm doing. And he goes on, he said, all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Have there been things that have been too painful? See, he didn't understand what was happening here. And it caused his faith to begin to draw back. He began to pull back from his consecration. He said in verse 2, "My feet were almost gone. My steps were sliding. My hold on God, I was losing my hold and my faith and my confidence in God because I didn't understand. It didn't look like this was fair." Have you ever encountered things that wasn't fair in life, that you felt wasn't fair? I believe most of us have. That's hard for us to deal with many times. Is things just don't look fair. And that's what it looked like to him. And it began to affect his faith and his confidence in God. And it didn't look right. Well, I'm thankful that the account doesn't end there, because in verse 17 he said, "Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." When he got into the presence of the Lord, he began to recognize the truth. He began to see the truth. He began to recognize, he said in verse 1, "God is good to Israel, and to even such as are of a clean heart." You know, the Lord is good to His people today. Yeah, there are hard places. There are things that the Lord permits to touch our life, but you know it's for our good and for our benefit. The song we sang today said that, "Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I would go astray." If we had the option of choosing which trial we would accept and which trial we wouldn't accept, and we wouldn't do very well. We'd probably go pretty light on ourselves. But I'm confident this morning that God knows the depths of our spirit more than what we know. Yeah. And He knows what it's going to take to get you and I to heaven. He sees things that you and I don't see. You know, as humans, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't even see ourselves.
That's true.
In a true light.
That's true.
We have a tendency to pat ourselves on the back and think that we're doing okay and give ourselves the benefit so many times. That's our human slant to things. But God knows really what we need. God knows really where we're at in life. He knows the integrity of our spirit. He knows the weak places in our lives. And He allows things to come to buffet us, to strengthen those places that are weak, and to help us in those areas that we need help. And I thank the Lord. There's been things that I've gone through, and after I got through it, looking back, thank you, Lord. Because there were things down the road that I didn't see. There were things about myself that I didn't recognize at the time. And the Lord has a way of bringing those things to the surface in our lives. And we need to trust Him and thank Him for that. But when he went into the sanctuary, he understood. And in verse 22, he said, "So foolish was I." After he went in the presence of God and he saw things like they truly were, he said, "Oh, I was so ignorant." He said, "I was a beast before you." You know, we're like a beast. If we go just by our natural man, our natural instincts, we're just like a... We don't know better. We're like a sheep that goes astray. We defend ourselves and we go down paths that just look good to our natural eyes. We need something more than that in life. We need the shepherd to direct our way and our path. We need to be careful in our lives to mind the checks of the Holy Spirit and the roadblocks that He puts in our pathway to listen to those and take heed to those. If we don't, we ride over those. We ride over what God is wanting to do in our lives. We'll find ourselves in trouble. This man was hurt. He had some pain in his heart because he couldn't understand what was taking place. I want to talk about being hurt just a little bit also this morning. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Hurts are kind of hard to understand, aren't they? Why? Why me? Why now? But I want to look at Proverbs 18:19. It said, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." A brother offended. It's talking about somebody that's been hurt. It said their contentions. And what that really means is their reasons. Yeah. Their arguments are like the bars of a castle. You know what the bars of a castle do? They imprison us. They seclude us. They isolate us. You know, there are a lot of things that happen in life. There are a lot of problems with people. I'll just put it the way it is. Husbands and wives, with those that you love. Sometimes you say things that you shouldn't have said. Sometimes you don't understand really what they're going through, and you say things that you just simply shouldn't have said. There's offenses that happen. Jesus said offenses will come, hurts come. But it's how we handle those hurts and offenses that really matter.
That's true.
I want to say, if you've been hurt and offended or hurt, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging it. If you just ignore it and you try to buff up and say, "That shouldn't happen. I should be stronger than that." And you ignore the hurt and you try to override it and you just try to forget about it, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
One of the first things you need to do is acknowledge,
yes,
this hurt. And we as people... We don't like to acknowledge that, do we? We don't like to be vulnerable. We like to be this type of person that's strong in every area, that can face every type of difficulty and almost inhuman. But we're human. And when we've acknowledged we've been hurt, and we recognize that we've been hurt, and our hurts come from a lot of different places. They can come from parents. There's been children that have been hurt, sexually abused, There's been children that grew up under thoughts and ideas that you never can do anything right. They've lived under that. And it has an effect. It has an effect. Because we're like sheep. We're vulnerable. And we're touched by those things. But as long as we have our own arguments and we try to fight those things in our own way, we try to cope with it, we try to deal with hurts in our own way, on our own terms. Sometimes we try to isolate ourselves from the hurt or from the offender. I remember doing that before. I remember years back, one of the saints, a brother in the congregation, said some things that hurt right in service and directed towards me. After that, I became where everywhere they were at, I knew where they were at in the chapel. And I kept my distance. Because I'd been hurt, been offended by what they'd said. And I was struggling with that. And I knew, you know, in my mind, I knew Scripture said, you got to forgive. But I was struggling with that. But I was praying one day, and the Lord gave me and I know the Lord knew, and that's a good thing about the Lord, because the Lord knows exactly where we're at. He knows where our battle's at. He knows what we're pining and struggling with. But the Lord gave me I saw in my mind a beautiful bouquet of flowers. And the thought that the Lord gave me was, I gave you this to brighten, to sweeten your life, to fragrance, perfume your spirit and your soul. And when I recognized the Lord permitted that to help me to grow in my soul, in my spirit,
yeah,
I thanked the Lord. And I was able after that to go up to the brother and hug his neck and shake him, and no feelings, no, it was all gone. The Lord has that for us. But the human part of us begins to reason. And we begin to justify our actions. Our isolation. You know, the devil wants to isolate us. That's what. Just not too long ago at the zoo, we watched a little deal and it showed the lions. They work as a team and they separate the prey from the fold. And the devil wants to do that. Mm-hmm. He wants to separate us from the people of God. He wants to divide us out and get us alone. That's a dangerous place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
When the enemy begins to isolate us, and it can happen, it begins in a person's heart and mind. And I've noticed also in offenses and hurts that the devil begins to put in his lies in that. He begins to tell you lies. He said, well, you deserve that. And he brings all different kinds of thoughts to the mind to begin to work. And he takes advantage of us if we're not careful. But their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And it affects us in our relationships. Not just the one that offended us, but it begins to affect me and all my other relationships. When I've got some arguments and I've got some reasons and I'm holding up some barriers, and that's the natural tendency to try to protect ourselves and to isolate ourselves from being hurt anymore. But when we do that, we're behind bars. We become isolated in our mind, our spirit, and the devil can take advantage. You know, we need relationships where we can talk to people, where we can open up our hearts. Husbands and wives need to open up their hearts to one another and the children to their parents. You need to be able to tell your dad some of your struggles and things that you're going through and things that you're facing. You need an openness and a communication there. Because the devil takes advantage if there's not. You know, brother there in Guthrie, Brother Wright, he mentioned, he said he grew up in a Christian home and his dad was a minister, but he just always felt like his dad didn't really care for him. He said the enemy did that, worked in his mind. He said his dad loved him. He felt his dad was a little bit overprotective because his dad had lost a child earlier, and he was a little overprotective, and he didn't let him do a lot of things that normal boys. But he read that. The devil got him thinking that your dad really doesn't love you, doesn't care for you. You see how the enemy works in people's minds, trying to divide relationships, trying to build barriers and walls between husbands and wives and children and in congregations. The enemy works and he does those things, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know, they can seem so right, and they can seem, we can seem in them in there, you know, so strong. But I want to ask us something this morning. Our arguments and our reasonings, is it giving us life? Is it giving us a fulfillment? Is it bringing us into the presence of God? Or are we starving and hungering and thirsting for something deeper and richer in our hearts, in our lives? That's a key note. If there's a hungering, if there's a thirsting, my arguments aren't working. My reasonings and my justifications aren't good, and I'm starving behind my bars spiritually. I'm starving behind there. We have to be willing to drop our reasonings. Be willing. The scripture we read earlier there in the Psalms, he said when he went in the sanctuary, he understood their end. And I don't know what that means to all of us, but one thing that I've come to recognize is that humility many times is the way into the sanctuary, into the presence of God. When I'm willing to humble my heart, when I'm willing to submit myself to God's will and to His way, had I the choosing in my pathway and blindness, I would go astray. Sometimes we pull away. We want to do something different. Sometimes we don't want what God wants for us. And it's because we're looking at it through the human perspective. And we fail to see it like God does. If we saw it like God did, we would rejoice and thank the Lord. You remember Paul there when he was praying that the Lord would remove that thorn in the flesh for him? He was praying against that. He didn't want that thorn in his flesh. But the Lord spoke to him and said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." In other words, he was saying, "I have a purpose for this thorn in your life. I have a purpose for this in your life." And when he recognized that that was the Lord, that the Lord was trying to mold and help him through that thorn, he said, "Most gladly will I glory." Yeah. See, the problem of us is getting God's perspective on it.
Yeah.
So many times we're like a sheep. We're as a beast. We want to do it our way and on our terms. But it doesn't work out. And we fail to enter into the places that God has for us. Another verse, Scripture says, there's the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? A wounded spirit. When a man is hurt in his flesh, his spirit can sustain him in many ways. But when the spirit is wounded, you're in trouble. When you're hurt inside, deep down inside. And oh, they're so real, aren't they? They're so real. There are people today that are so bruised. There are people today right around the saints that are hurting, that have been offended. And many times you can see it in their eyes. There's something about the look in the eye. Something shallow, something hurting there in the eye. When a person's been hurt, wounded, and offended. Lord, help us to look beyond the exterior, to look beyond and begin to see the offenses and the hurts. That's one thing that I've prayed more and more in recent years. Lord, help me to see where people are hurting at. Help me to know where they're hurting and how they're hurting. I believe Jesus, through the Spirit, was able to recognize people that hurt all around Him. He recognized their need. And the Lord can help us if we're looking to Him too. There's another verse I wanted to bring out. It talked about, it says, harden not your heart in the day of provocation. And it brings out when they were tempted, God, them to be in some difficult places. When they were in the provocation, He said, harden not your heart. And we want to take note of that this morning also. When we're tempted, when we're in that place of trial, when we're in that place of being offended, don't harden. Don't harden your heart against God. There are so many people today that are hurting, that have been offended at God, that have blamed God for things that have happened in life. All around us today, people. And God came, the Lord came to heal those wounds. He came to heal those hurting hearts. The scripture there in Luke that talks about where the Lord preached at Nazareth in the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. Said, the Lord hath anointed me. Luke 4:18, it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. There are people today that are in prison in their own minds and in their own spirit, in their own hearts. They like to be free. They'd like to have a good life in the Lord. They'd like to have a real peace in their hearts and their lives, but there are things that they're struggling with that are beyond them. But they don't know how, and in their own human way, they've tried to work it out and they've tried to be a good person and they've tried to struggle and do what's right. And yet deep down inside, there's still this wound and this hurt. The Lord came to heal those places. He said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. You know why people, so many times it looks like, you know, you wonder, why are they destroying their lives? Why are they hurting themselves more? Many times it's because they've been hurt and they've been wounded deeply. You know, there are people in the world today that don't like themselves. Brother Marty talked the other night, he said, the Lord made us all different. But there are people that don't like themselves. They don't like who they are. They don't like the way they look. You know, there's healing for that. There's healing for the broken heart. There's deliverance to the captives. Do you believe that this morning?
Yeah.
Do you believe the Lord can heal the broken heart?
Amen.
Yes, He can. But we have to put down our pride. We have to allow those bars to come down. We have to enter into that presence of God through humility. There was another time in my experience where I was a little hurt at the Lord. Have you ever been hurt at the Lord? Been pained? Didn't understand? And just like that psalmist, I began to withdraw in my consecration, my spirit. And I knew in my mind, I knew I didn't go back. I didn't want to go back to what the Lord saved me from. I knew I didn't want to go back to that. So I knew I need to keep up. I need to keep praying, keep reading the scriptures, and I did that. But down inside, there was some hurts that I wasn't willing to let go of. Wasn't willing to humble myself under. And I became confused. And I became perplexed. I kept reading the Bible, kept praying. But reading the Bible was like reading the newspaper. All it was information. I wasn't getting any life from it. Until I humbled my heart and said, Lord, okay, whatever it takes. You're trying to make me more like You. And whatever it takes, I'm willing. And when I became willing and I submitted myself, it wasn't hard and it wasn't complicated. I just had to humble my heart. I had to pull down the bars. You know, it gets so tiring trying to do it on your own. Trying to struggle, doing it your way, living for God on your terms. It gets so difficult. It gets so dry. And it gets so lonely. Lord, help us to enter into that sanctuary, that place of humility. Lord, whatever it takes, I'm willing to be more like You. Lord, help us to have a willing heart. Harden not your heart in the provocation. Don't allow those barriers and those walls to come up. It takes a lot of humility sometimes to go and confess failures, acknowledgement. There was a brother I was able to visit with a little bit at Monarch, and he was separated from their marriage, didn't work out. And there were some feelings there that he had, and he had gotten back to the Lord. But the Lord began to speak to him and told him, said, pray for her. He didn't want to. The suggestion came again, pray for her. They hadn't been together for years and years, hurt. Both sides. She was bitter. And the Lord spoke to him again, said, pray for her. Now this brother was living for the Lord. He was trying. He was trying to be saved, trying to live for the Lord, trying to do what was right. But it wasn't until he began to really pray for her that it broke. The bars began to come down in his heart and in his spirit. And after that, the Lord made it to where Providence had it, where they spoke on the phone. And he asked her, he said, I want you to forgive me for the offenses and the hurts. This was years gone by. Folks, you know they never go away. Hurts never go away on their own. They never heal on their own. People carry them a lifetime. The scars. But I want to tell us that there is healing in the Lord this morning. There is healing. There's a place of forgiveness. Yeah, there's still some remembrances and my life is still affected somewhat. But I can still be what God wants me to be. And my life can still be fulfilled in Him as I yield to Him and continue in Him. There is healing today in the Lord. There is healing in Jesus. He said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." And I'm thankful this morning that there's a way out of those prisons. You know, it looks like the enemy sometimes has people so sealed off and so barred in. But the Lord can bring those bars down.
Yes, He can. Thank the Lord.
Pray for me. I want to be faithful.